Miss Bessie, that sounds just fine to me.
Coming right up.
Ah, that sure is a spot.
Yes, it was a typical day in the town of Radio Gulch. Everyone was in their usual routine. Mr. Copper was minding the general store, Bessie was behind the bar, and Sheriff Dillon was on his bar stool. Yes, it was a mighty quiet day in Radio Gulch until...
Sheriff! Sheriff Dillon!
Concern it, Virgil! Can't you see I'm having my sarsaparilla?
What's got you so all-fired excited, Virg?
I ran all the way from the station. It's Black Bart. He's coming back into town today.
Black Bart?
Black Bart!
Heard the news with my own two ears. He's coming into town on the 310 from Yuma.
But he ain't due back in until the 8th, and today is...
The 8th?
How could we forget, Sheriff? What are we gonna do?
I know what I'm gonna do.
Never seen a man run so fast before.
We don't got much time, Bessie. That train is due into town in just about an hour.
Oh, land sakes, that don't give us much time to get ready. So much to do. You know what'll happen if we're not ready when Black Bart shows up?
You don't have to remind me. I was there for it last year.
Oh, my nerves are as jittery as a rattlesnake doing a two-step.
Now calm down, Bessie. We'll get this took care of here. I'll turn on the radio while we work. I bet we can find something there that'll soothe them nerves of yours.
All right, Virgil. All right. I need something to get my mind off of outlaws and saloons. See if you can find one of them Western programs.
Well, let's see what we can do here.
The NBC Theater presents...
Screen Directors Guild production, Stagecoach. Director, John Ford. Stars, John Wayne, Claire Trevor, Ward Bond.
Directors Guild production of the United Artists Motion Picture Classic Stagecoach, starring John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and introducing the director of the film, John Ford. Before we begin our story, here are a few words about the entertainment you will hear tonight and in future weeks at this time. The NBC Theater is proud to present the president of the Screen Directors Guild and the eminent director of such films as Variety Girl, The Perils of Pauline, and Taproots, Mr. George Marshall.
Thank you, and good evening. This is the first performance of a series of Screen Directors Guild productions in which the directors will personally bring you their favorite film assignments, along with the stars that created the original roles. Tonight, your director is John Ford. John, if you remember, is the winner of 5 Academy Awards and the guiding hand of such great pictures as The Informer, How Green Was My Valley, and of course, Stagecoach. You're on the set, John.
Thank you, George. And good luck on our first production. Stagecoach is ready to roll. The last time I made that crack was about 10 years ago when I first had the opportunity of putting on film this Romance of the West. For the cast, the picture authors an array of colorful character types right for the actors' talents. Now the story and the cast are united again. Here is Stagecoach with John Wayne as the Ringo Kid, Claire Trevor as Dallas, and Ward Bond as Doc Boone. In 1885, the stagecoach was the only means of travel on the American frontier. And in those days, no name struck more dread into the hearts of travelers than Geronimo, leader of the warlike Apaches. This, folks, is the story of a party of people who travel from Tonto to Lordsburg by stagecoach in 1885. It's a story still told by the Indians.
In the land of Arizona, land of the Apache Indian, where the roaming Chiricahua fought the mighty white invader, stood the white man's city, Tonto. Tonto, where the flying wagon that the white man called a stagecoach starts to take men to the west, where Geronimo was chief, leader of the Apache Indian race.
Well, that's how it is, folks. Geronimo's Apaches are on a war path and burning every ranch in sight.
But the question for the party assembled in this stagecoach is, shall we continue?
I say yes. Continue.
Continue, Miss Mallory? Should you be traveling in your condition?
My husband is in Apache Wells with his troops. I want to be with him when our baby arrives.
Madam, I'm a gambler, and I admire and respect a bold gamble. But aren't you gambling with a life beside your own?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mr. Hatfield. We're getting a cavalry escort to Apache Wells.
That settles it. I'm going on.
All right, I'll find my shotgun guard.
You don't have to go no further, Buck.
What? Well, Curly! Well, doggone it, how are you, Sheriff?
I'm fine, thanks. And I'll be riding shotgun up next to you this trip, Buck.
You? What for?
The Ringo Kid escaped from prison. I'm looking for him.
The feller who shot Jed Michaels dead?
I hear he's headed for Lordsburg to shoot it out with the three plumber boys. So I'll be right up there with you, Buck, all the way to Lordsburg.
Here she comes, top of the hill now. There comes the stagecoach.
Stagecoach?
You better stand back there, Doc.
Yeah, stand down that road there, Dallas girl.
Thanks, Doc.
Hail, the sagebrush chariot.
Doc, why do I have to leave town because all these women here say I have to? I don't want to go to Lordsburg.
No more than I do, Dallas. But you are a lady somewhat too hospitable to gentlemen. And I am a doctor somewhat too hospitable to spirits. We, girl, are the dregs of Tonto. They send us from their midst. Come, Dallas, be a proud, glorified dreg like me.
Whoa there, whoa!
Hi there, Buck. You have acquired two more eager passengers.
The engines are rising, Doc.
I thank them for that mark of respect. Tell them they may be seated now.
Thanks, Doc.
Take your place beside the other lady. Then forward, on to Lordsburg.
Watch your driving through this canyon, Buck.
Well, I aim to be hard to shoot at in case Geronimo's Apaches are in these hills.
Well, I'm with you, Buck. The law.
That don't make me bulletproof. Oh, kingdom high. Here she comes. Apaches.
Keep your shirt on and stop the coat. It ain't Apaches. It's someone up ahead blocking the road with a rifle.
Whoa there. Whoa. Whoa.
Here he comes. Whoever he is.
Well, it's the Ringo Kid.
That's right, Buck. Hiya, Curly.
Ringo.
Didn't expect to find the sheriff riding shotgun.
I was heading for Lordsburg, same as you, Ringo.
Well, my horse went lame, so you got another passenger.
Well, I'll take that Winchester first, Ringo.
That's so, Sheriff?
You're under arrest for the murder of Jed Michaels.
Sorry, Curly, but this Winchester here says different.
Sorry, Ringo, but if you look back up that road a piece, you'll see our escort, the United States Cavalry, coming up.
Oh.
I'll take that rifle now, Ringo.
Sure, Sheriff. But you better hold on to it. You may need it before we get to Lordsburg.
Thanks. You can get in the coach now.
Much obliged, Sheriff.
Get going, Buck!
Giddy up, Bessie! Giddy up! Bonnie! Yeah!
So, you're the famous Ringo Kid, huh?
My friends call me Ringo. Right name's Henry.
Henry? Seems to me like I knew your family, Henry. Didn't I fix your arm once when you were old, bucked off a horse?
That was my kid brother broke his arm. You did a good job, Doc, even if he was drunk.
Thank you, son. What happened to that boy whose arm I fixed?
He was murdered.
Oh, no.
Him and my dad, by the three plumber boys. So thanks, Doc.
Mrs. Mallory. You're tired. Would you like to rest your head on my shoulder?
No, thank you. Would you mind, Mr. Hatfield, if I sat on your side of the coach?
Not at all, ma'am.
Excuse me. Yes, of course.
Right here, Miss Mallory.
Thank you, Mr. Hatfield.
I must have had the plague, huh, Dallas?
You? Oh, no, it's not you.
Have a drink, Hatfield?
No, thank you.
No, thank you, he says. Have a drink, Doc. Yes, thank you.
You're not going to move away from me, are you?
No, Ringo.
Well, I can't expect to break out of prison and into society in the same week.
She'll hear you.
Guess I'm pretty dumb for sitting down beside a lady like you, Dallas.
A lady?
Yeah, thanks for not moving.
Don't, please. Why are you looking at me like that?
Ain't I seen you someplace before?
No, you haven't.
I wish I had, though.
I know you. I mean, I know who you are. I guess everybody in the territory does.
Yep. Well, I used to be a good cowhand, but things happen.
Yeah, that's it. Things happen.
Hello, little bub. Drink up, Doc. Drink up.
Oh, Doc's getting a snootful.
Things happen. And now they'll take you back to prison?
Not till I finish a job in Lordsburg.
Ringo, I wish you wouldn't.
Wish I wouldn't what?
Oh, nothing. Nothing.
Oh!
Confound that driver. Why doesn't he drive more carefully?
He's playing it smart, Hatfield. He took to the mountains. Apaches don't like snow.
Well, he might have more consideration for Mrs. Mallory and her condition.
I'll be all right, Mr. Hatfield. Thank you.
Apache Wells, just ahead! Apache Wells!
Mr. Hatfield, why didn't my husband and his troops meet us here?
The Wrangler tells me that the Captain Mallory has been sent ahead to Lordsburg.
Lordsburg?
We better turn around and follow the cavalry escort to Tonto.
We can't do that.
Apache's on the warpath. It ain't safe to go through Apache country without escort. I say we ought to turn back.
There's only one way to find out. Take a vote.
What do you say, Miss Mallory? On Lordsburg or back to Tonto?
I want my husband with me when our baby's born.
Doc?
Ain't you forgot this lady?
You mean Dallas?
Oh, I say go. I've got nothing to go back to and...
Doc?
Lordsburg! Pass the bottle, pass the bottle.
Ringo.
Ringo's my prisoner. I'm voting his proxy. I say Lordsburg.
Hatfield?
I'm at the service of Miss Mallory.
Thank you.
Well, if you ask me, Lordsburg it is. Let's all step inside and get some grub. Look spry.
Or better take my arm down these steps, Miss Mallory.
No, thank you, really. I'm quite... Oh!
Miss Mallory.
Bottle.
I've got her. Dr. Boone, Miss Mallory needs your help.
What? Who? What?
Oh, it's no use. He's drunk. Ringo.
Yeah?
I don't know for sure, but I think you better go inside and start heating some water.
All you want, then some. And then some.
Carry her inside, Mr. Hatfield.
Oh, allow me.
I'll carry her myself, you sot.
Thank you, sir.
You drunken swine.
Thank you.
Now, if you open the door for me, Dallas.
Yes.
Drunken swine of a doctor.
Doc, honest, ain't you ashamed of yourself?
And I understand that the swine called me a drunken swine.
Oh, I wish I could do something.
There is something you can do, Buck.
Yeah, but what can you do in your condition?
I can drink all of the hot black coffee that you can make. I, sir, am a doctor. Now get busy. Get busy!
The NBC Theater is presenting the Screen Directors Guild production of Stagecoach, starring Claire Trevor, John Wayne, and Ward Bond, and with screen director John Ford.
Apache Wells, the white man, called it. Here the white woman had her child while the flying wagon waited. Waited while my tribesmen gathered. On the hills and on the desert gathered the Apache warriors while the white woman had her child and the flying wagon waited.
Oh, it makes me nervous being held up like this in Apache country. Just when they're mad at us again.
Quiet, Buck.
Huh?
Someone's coming. Dallas?
Look, it's a little girl.
A girl? Let me see it.
Well, I'll be doggone.
That's real fine, ain't it, Dallas? Real fine.
Oh, yes, Curly, it's fine.
A baby! Well, how? I mean, why?
I'll explain it to you sometime, Buck.
Listen, boys.
Doc Boone. Come on, boys. Three cheers for old Doc Boone.
Never mind the three cheers. Just pour me four fingers. I'm thirsty.
Dallas?
Oh.
It's me, Ringo.
Oh.
You ought to be outside here alone. Apaches like to sneak up and pick off strays.
Well, you're here now.
Yeah, well, I watched you with that baby today, and you look nice.
Just wanted to hold it a minute.
Yeah. You visiting in Lordsburg?
No, no, I have friends there, and maybe I can find work. Ringo, why don't you try to escape? Why don't you try and get away?
I aim to, in Lordsburg.
Why Lordsburg? Why don't you make for the border now?
My father and brother were shot down by the plumber boys. I guess, well, you don't know how it feels to lose your own folks that way.
I lost mine when I was a kid. There was a massacre in Superstition Mountain.
Yeah, that's tough, especially on a girl.
Well, you gotta live no matter what happens.
Yeah, that's it. Look, Miss Dallas, you got no folks, and neither have I. And well, maybe I'm taking a lot for granted, but, well, I got a ranch across the border, and it's a nice place, a real nice place. There's trees, grass, water, there's a cabin half built. A man could live there, and a woman. Well, maybe I'm crazy being close to you like this, but will you go?
But you don't know me. You don't know who I am.
I know all I want to know. Will you go?
Ringo.
That ain't an answer, Dallas.
Ringo, you can't go to Lordsburg. Not now. The plumber boys will be there 3-1 against you. You'll
can't
get
tell.
Killed. You can't win.
Can't run away from it either.
How can you talk about our life together when you want to throw your life away?
Well, what do you want me to do?
Get away. I'll follow you.
You mean that, Dallas?
Well, I can't just leave Mrs. Mallory and her baby now, but listen, there's a horse all saddled and ready for you in the corral.
What?
Yeah, there's a rifle on the saddle boot. Now get going, I'll come after you.
I'm counting on that, Dallas. With my life.
Goodbye, Ringo. Watch out for Apaches.
I got a rifle now. I got you. Don't worry, Dallas. I'll be waiting. Hold it, hold it. Whoa, whoa. Easy, boy, easy. Smoke signals on the ridge. Apaches. I gotta warn Dallas and the others. I gotta go back. Yeah, yeah, yeah!
On the ridge and on the mesa, smoke-thatched fires. Rise, the fires told my nation. Strike the white man's flying wagon. Rise, my kinsmen. Rise, Apaches. Chieftains, horsemen. Lances, rifles, stagecoach on that Lordsburg trail. Thus the signals on the mesa, thus the riding in the sky. Thus my fierce Apache horsemen follow on the Lordsburg trail.
We're making good time. I say we're out of danger now, thanks to Ringo here. Very decent of you to come back, Ringo.
I wouldn't say we're out of danger yet, Hatfield.
We'll be in Lordsburg soon, then. Very soon. How's the baby?
Sleeping. Doc told me what you did for me. Thank you very much, Dallas.
You know, danger whets my appetite. Indeed it does. Now let me see if I... There must be a bottle of something left in this bag.
A bullet. It just missed your head, Doc.
On the floor, Miss Mallory. Dallas, you and Miss Mallory get down.
Apaches! Hundreds of them!
Hey, Ringo!
You're at least calling you from the driver's seat, Ringo!
Yeah, Chef!
Here's your Winchester! Use it, man! Use it!
Thanks for my rifle.
Ringo, look out! The Apache on the painted pony!
Got it!
See that engine on that Mustang coming alongside?
Don't talk. Shoot!
Now you see him? Well, now you don't.
You ladies all right?
We're all right.
Now you see him. Now you don't.
Is that baby all right?
Yes, the baby's fine.
If you gentlemen be good enough to shoot Indians instead of...
Hatfield been hurt.
Get that Apache. I'll help Hatfield.
Got it.
Faster. Drive faster. Oh, fire. Fire. Can't you see they're all around us?
Down, Miss Mallory. You'll get yourself.
Easy, Hatfield. Easy.
I could use some more help up here.
Give me that pistol, Doc.
Take it.
Thanks. Look at all those engines.
Apaches all have big families.
Don't talk. Shoot.
I can't. I'm out of ammunition.
Oh, why did Buck and Curly stop firing outside?
Buck's it. Curly's empty, too. This looks like it.
No. Look, I have 3 bullets left.
That's enough. Indians won't get you or Miss Mallory or the baby.
No. No, they won't.
Listen!
Get down.
No, listen. It's a bugle.
That's a cavalry from Lordsburg.
The Apaches are breaking. They're running away.
Glory, glory.
How's Hatfield?
Dead. Glory, glory.
Well, good night, Ringo.
This? Is this where you live in Lordsburg?
I told you. I warned you. I told you you didn't know me. This part of town is no place for a nice girl, but it's all right for me. Now, say goodbye, Ringo. Say goodbye.
I asked you to marry me, didn't I?
I'll never forget you asking.
Well, go on. Wait for me back at the stagecoach.
Where are you going?
Business, with the plumber boys.
I'm just gonna take a slow walk down Main Street and see what happens.
Dear Lord, this stagecoach don't pass much for a church, but I'm praying to you here. Please, Lord, it's 3-1 against Ringo out there, and the plumber boys are dead shots. Awful dead shots, Lord. Like I was saying, Lord, it's 2-1, Lord. Oh, please. He's all I got and all I ever want. Please, dear Lord, please let me have him back. Please, please, please. Who's that? Who's that out there? Ringo!
Yeah?
You're hurt?
No.
I prayed for you, I prayed.
You did good.
Let's get out of here then. Escape!
Don't have to anymore. Before he cashed in, Luke Plummer confessed he killed Jed Michaels.
You're free?
Yeah.
And they didn't even hurt you, dead shots like the Plummer boys?
Deadest dead shots you ever saw.
Oh, Ringo, Ringo.
Dallas, what are you crying for? Nothing's happened.
Thus the story of those brave men, riders of the flying wagon in the land of Arizona, where Geronimo was chief. In the great land in the desert, where the flying wagon galloped, that the white men called the stagecoach, bringing brave men to the West.
In just a moment, the NBC Theater has presented the Screen Directors Guild production of Stagecoach, starring John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and introduced by John Ford. And now, here again is our special guest, the president of the Screen Directors Guild, Mr. George Marshall.
The premier production of the Screen Directors' entry into radio has now joined the Stagecoach itself and that great fund of memories known as the past. And speaking for the Guild, I'd like to express our gratitude to the National Broadcasting Company for the opportunity to better acquaint the public with the work and role of the screen director. Take it away, John Ford.
Well, how do you hardy frontiersmen like pioneering in an NBC studio instead of the Badlands of Arizona?
Very much. You know, just the memory of that dust is enough to send me home to wash my hair.
Pappy, this is wonderful.
Wonderful? What do you mean?
No getting up early in the morning and arguing with a horse.
You know, I think it's wonderful that the screen director is being honored like this. He's the fella who really makes the movie.
Claire!
Where would we be without you, Pappy, and others like you?
That's right.
You tell us our business, that's all I can say.
Say, talking about wonderful things, it's a wonder that Pappy hasn't yet displayed his fine tyrannical hand.
Is that so, Ward? John, look. So long as we're speaking about fine tyrannical hands, look, are we going to do this again? Because it's so much...
Uh-oh!
I thought so. You'd have something to say about that. We had that same trouble 10 years ago.
That's right. Now look, John, don't you remember? This is radio. There are no retakes. Good night, everybody.
Our stars, John Wayne, Claire Trevor, and Ward Bond, and our screen directors, George Marshall and John Ford.
Screen Directors Guild assignment, production, Let's Live a Little. Director Richard Wallace, star Robert Cummings.
A fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. with his faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, big fella. There's danger on the trail ahead. Hiya, Silver! Away!
The Lone Ranger is brought to you by Cheerios, the new and exciting breakfast cereal from General Mills. Everyone knows that breakfast is the most important meal we eat. It's where you get all that energy for an active day ahead. And everyone also knows that ordinary breakfast cereals made from wheat or corn can become pretty monotonous when you eat them day after day after day. Now you have a choice. Cheerios are made from rich, satisfying, energy-producing oats. And to make them even more exciting, each one is shaped like a little O. Every package of Cheerios is jam-packed with hundreds and hundreds of golden brown toasted little O's. Cheerios. Ask your grocer for Cheerios today. Tell him you want to enjoy a new breakfast, a big bowl full of crispy, nutritious little O's. Cheerios.
In the sandy vastness of Arizona Territory, there was no town more cheerless and foreboding than Quartzville. Situated in the midst of arid hills, it sprawled like a tired dog in the never-ending sun. Yet it was beneath these grim volcanic hills that nature had stored her richest silver ore. So there were many mines in and around Quartzville, and it was in the deep shaft of one of them that disaster struck without warning late one afternoon. A tremendous explosion hurled untold tons of rock and gravel across the mouth of a lower cross drift. Over 20 men were sealed in a tomb, condemned to living death. A shrill voice steam whistle broke the awful news, and a few moments later, hundreds of frightened townspeople raced toward the entrance to the White Hope Mine.
What's going on? What happened?
Mike, do you think? Mike, is it true everybody's saying that?
I'm afraid it is true, Miss Julia. Lower level of the White Hope.
But Paul's down there. What caused it?
No way of telling. Maybe one of the boys was using a short fuse or...
They're not dead. They can't be. We've got to start tunneling through the...
Whole bottom of the shaft is gone, Miss Julia. It'd take us 10 years to tunnel through that.
There must be some way. We can't just stand here and let Paul and those poor men suffocate.
You know the White Hope as well as I do. Ain't no way to... Unless...
What?
The Matchless Mine, right above us. Maybe there's a cross drift in that nearer to...
The Matchless? That's it. I'll find Martin Finchley right away. Mr. Finchley, you must...
I've heard the news, Miss Clark. One of my men just told me. Where did it happen?
On the lower level. A rescue crew just went down.
It's horrible, horrible.
But Mike, my foreman, tells me that we'll never be able to tunnel through to the cave in time. I mean, in time to save Paul and...
I've already issued orders for my men to stop work. I'll send them all down to the White Hope.
That's very kind of you, Mr. Finchley. I know you want to help.
In every way possible.
Mike says that maybe there's a cross drift in your mind, the Matchless. We might be able to reach the White Hope that way.
I never thought of that, but it's possible. The Matchless is much older than the White Hope. As you know, I've been operating it less than a year, and I'm...
You must have sketches of the original diggings.
I don't know. If I have, they're here in the office someplace. I'll look for them.
Please do. Then maybe we can...
What is it, Miss Clark?
I just remembered something. Mike has been here in Quartzville longer than any of us. He's either dug or helped dig every mine within 20 miles. Maybe he has sketches of the Matchless and the White Hope.
Ask him by all means, and I'll look around here to see if I have any.
Thank you, Mr. Finchley. You don't know how much I appreciate your help.
Yeah, come to think of it, I did make a sketch of the old Matchless when we sunk the first shaft. That's a good idea, Miss Julia.
If you get them, I'm sure Mr. Finchley will help us with men, tools, or anything else.
I've got a crew down there now working on the cave-in. As soon as I see how they're making out, I'll go over to my place and find those sketches.
Oh, Mike, we will save the men, won't we?
Now, don't you worry too much, Miss Julia. If it's humanly possible, we'll get the boys out of there. Gotta make a light here. That's better. So I can look through the papers in my desk and see if, Yeah, here they are. By Jupiter, I knew I had
those. I'll take those sketches and hand them over.
What the?
That's a 45 nudge in your ribs. Hand them over before I...
No, you can't get away with this.
Can I?
I know you. You're one of those guys...
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had made camp beside one of the few streams near Quartzville. They were busy repairing saddle gear while their horses enjoyed a well-earned rest.
This isn't an ideal campsite, Tonto, but it'll give us a chance to get things in shape before we head for Texas.
There's plenty bad country. Too dry. Me not like it.
We won't stay long. By the way, when you went into Quartzville to get supplies this morning, did you hear any more about that explosion at the White Hope Mine?
Me hear people talk. They say miners trapped in mine, not get out. Buried plenty deep.
It's too bad.
What make mine blow up?
There's no way of telling, Tonto. Maybe a premature powder blast or a match igniting a gas pocket. Any one of a dozen things could have caused it.
Think work in mine plenty dangerous.
It is. I wish there was some way we could help those men who are trapped down there. But I don't know what it would be.
It was 2 days later that a heavy stagecoach pounded along the dusty road from Tucson to Quartzville. Only one passenger had chosen this particular time to visit Quartzville, and he rode on the high box seat beside the driver. Oliver Hornblow was not a large man, but he made up in dignity what he lacked in size. His black beaver hat might be dusty and far from new. His frock coat and striped trousers had obviously seen better days. But he wore them with striking conviction, because Oliver Meredith Hornblow was an actor.
Don't get along there, you critters! See, you're one of them, play actors, huh?
Actor? My good man, I have been privileged to read the Bard's immortal lines in some of the world's finest theaters.
Oh, yeah?
And aren't we all actors? All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts.
Yeah, I know. I saw a feller one time in the vaudeville.
Oh, it offends me to the soul to see a robustious, periwig-paid fellow tear a passionate tatters to very rags to split the ears of the groundlings.
Oh, what's that?
Hamlet, third act.
Oh. Aren't you kind of off of your range up here in Quartzville? The only stage up here is in the Opry House, and that ain't nothing.
For your information, I have been summoned to this provincial hamlet in order to lend my art to a charitable cause.
Charity? Well, you must be talking about that benefit show for the widows and children of the miners who got caught in the blast at the White Hope.
That is correct. Mr. Martin Finchley was in Tucson yesterday, where I and my company of players are, we're temporarily resting between engagements. Upon his request, I consented to appear at the benefit.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad about them poor miners. I knew most of them personally.
Isn't there still some hope of rescue?
It's mighty slim. Young Miss Julie Clark, she owns the White Hope now since her paw died last year. She's got every man in town working on the cave-in.
Well, how about the miners who work for Mr. Finchley?
Well, they're helping too, but it ain't much use. It's a dirty shame, that's what it is. Paul Becker, the young feller Miss Clark was going to marry, down there with the rest of them.
Oh, the uncertainty of life. As Shakespeare so wisely wrote in one of his deathless sonnets, like as the waves make toward the pebbled shore, so do our minutes hasten to their end.
Oh, you critters! This is it, Mr. Hornblow. This is Quartzville.
You mean this? Why, it's nothing more than a collection of benighted hovels.
Even so, it's where you get off. I got to tool this rig up to the barn.
Oh, well. The worst is not, so long as we can say, this is the worst. That's from King Lear, Act 4.
I always say, ain't nothing worse than a ham actor.
Ham? Ham? Did that miserable varlet, that buckskin bumpkin, call Oliver, Meredith, Hornblow ham? Oh, my feet. Nothing but gravel on this street, and me with no soles in my shoes. And another thing, I'm hungry. 15 cents. Oh, well, doth not good digestion wait on appetite and health on both? I'll find a restaurant. Oh, good day, my young friend. A sign on the window proclaims this establishment the Busy Bee Restaurant. I trust you serve food.
Yeah.
Good.
What do you want, ham?
Ham! Ham, I say! Why, you insolent young scoundrel of the skillet, you factor of the firkin, you dare call me a ham!
No need for you to get riled up, stranger. All I said was, what do you want, ham? Because if you don't want ham, you're out of luck.
Oh, I beg you. Because
that's all we got.
I beg your pardon, young man.
You want it alone or with eggs?
What is the price of, shall we say, a ham sandwich?
15 cents.
Excellent, excellent. Prepare it at once.
Sure. Coming right up.
Oh, just a moment.
Yeah?
There's one more thing. I notice a thick and well-folded piece of paper here on the table. Does it belong to you?
Nah, somebody must have left it here. You can have it.
Thank you. Thank you 1,000 times. A good thick piece of paper. It will serve as an excellent shield for this hole in my shoe. Ah, there. A mender of bad souls, a surgeon to old shoes. That's from Julius Caesar, Act 1.
In the meantime, a man who had committed murder tried hard to explain a loss.
I tell you, Reno, I had it with me. Had it right here in my pocket, but now it's gone.
You half-witted loco coyote!
It ain't my
You
fault,
lost
Reno.
It? What do you think the boss will say when he finds out we done lost?
Just an accident, that's all. I've been carrying them two pieces of paper around in my pocket ever since.
We gotta find them. Where you been lately?
Well, no place except, hey, maybe them sketches could have slipped out of my pocket one of us.
Where?
Down at the Busy Bee Cafe. I was getting something there to eat about an hour ago and...
Come on! We're gonna find out. Hey, kid.
Yeah?
Seeing anything around here like a couple of pieces of paper folded together?
I thought I might have left them in here when I was...
Paper? Was it yellow and thick like?
That's it.
Sure. Peppery old gent had a sandwich in here about 5 minutes ago. It was laying right there on the table, so he...
Did he pick it up?
Yeah, I was watching him. He crammed the whole thing inside his right shoe.
In his shoe?
Which way did this gent go?
Down the street toward the Opry House. He...
Come on, Slim.
Oh, yes. This is indeed an ideal day for...
Hey, you!
What?
Stop. You've got something that...
Two angry townsfolk and they're wearing guns. Oliver, this is a time for action.
Stop, stop, you old coot.
Aim for his leg, Slim. We'll get that shoe off fast.
Oh, they've mistaken me for a criminal. This is no time to argue. I must get away, and what I need is a horse. That's it. My kingdom for a horse. There, there's one. Oh, this is an oddly shaped saddle. And heaven forbid I should ever become a horse thief, but giddy up!
Wait, that's my horse!
Come on, Slim. We'll straddle our broncs and run that critter down.
There, Tonto. I think we've got all the gear packed now. As soon as I saddle this cinch, just...
Kimosabe.
What's the matter?
Look, little fella, tall hat, ride this way plenty fast.
Yes, and the two men chasing him using guns. I don't know who that man is, Tonto, but he needs help. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
Urging their mounts forward at top speed, the Lone Ranger and Tonto were soon racing alongside the horse that carried a badly frightened Oliver Hornblow.
Who are... Oh, more outlaws! Oh!
Guide him over that ridge, Tonto. Then circle back to our camp. I'll stop these men behind us.
You, straight ahead. Do like me.
No, I...
Yes, do them fast. Get them up, Scout.
Oh!
Whoa, Silver.
Oh, boy.
Look, Reno.
Yeah, them and the old gent must be working together.
They're hightailing it over the ridge.
We'll trail them soon as I crease this hombre with the mask. Get that cayuse off the trail before I...
Better not use that gun. You'll regret it.
Why, you...
I warned you.
Ow! My hand. He put a slug right through my hand.
I'm going.
Keep it. Keep it in leather. Unless you want the same thing he got. Or worse.
Listen. No lid slinging long riders gonna...
I'm gonna count to three. And if you two men don't turn those horses around and head the other way before I've finished, I'll plant some bullets where they'll do the most good. One, two.
Come on, Reno. I ain't a hankering to stop his kind of lead. Giddy up.
Well, yeah, I... Oh, giddy up.
Come on, Silver. Silver. Well, Tonto, I see that you and he made it back to camp, all right.
Man, plenty scared. Not talk.
Scared? Who wouldn't be scared? For no reason at all, I'm pursued by armed brigands. Forced to seize the first horse I can find.
I thought that horse belonged to someone else. You seem to be having a little trouble riding side saddle.
Side saddle? No wonder... I mean, I think I'll just stand up. And what difference does it make? I'm now the prisoner of a masked outlaw. One whom the vile blows and buffets of mankind have so incensed that you are reckless in what you do to spite the world. That's from the third act of...
Macbeth.
Why, yes. How did you know?
After a well-graced actor leaves the stage.
An outlaw who quotes Shakespeare. Tell me, who are you?
I'm not an outlaw, neither is Tonto. And it's far more important that you tell me why those men were chasing you.
Alas, I haven't the faintest idea.
You were a professional actor, aren't you?
I, sir, am Oliver Meredith Hornblower, a humble delineator of the Bard's Immortal.
Just visiting Quartzville?
I accepted an engagement in this misbegotten hamlet for this evening. A charity performance for the benefit of...
Yes, I heard about it.
Well, upon my arrival, I hastened to a restaurant for a bite to eat. Leaving there, I was set upon by these scoundrels who tried to kill me. So I purloined a horse and...
There must have been some reason for them to chase you.
None whatsoever. They just began to shoot, and one of them yelled, "Aim for his legs! They'll get that shoe off fast!"
And it must be something connected with your shoes. Let's have a look at them.
Well, to tell you the truth, this is most embarrassing. Ah, you see, the trunks containing my wardrobe have been delayed, and these shoes are... Well, you know how we people of the theater are superstitious about old things. They're slightly worn.
Let me see them.
All right. The fact is, I've got an old piece of paper serving as a sole for one of them. Just as a joke, of course.
Paper? Where'd you get it?
In that restaurant I told you about. It was just laying there, and as it was, a good stout piece of parchment. See?
These are two pieces of paper folded together. And they,
Such a trivial matter. I'm sure it isn't.
You're wrong, Oliver. There are no ordinary pieces of parchment.
What do you mean?
They are plans of some kind. Sketches of, here it is, written at the right at the bottom.
What?
Plan of all the levels, drifts, and cross shafts of the Matchless and the White Hope mines.
But that couldn't be the reason for...
I think it is. Yes, I'm sure of it. Because according to this plan of the Matchless, there's an old drift that cuts down to...
Kimosabe.
What is it, Tonto?
What's that him ride with side saddle? See name on saddlebag.
Yes, it probably belongs to some woman who...
Name say Julia Clark.
Clark. Julia Clark. Why, that's the girl who owns the White Hole. The mine where the men are.
My good fellow, if you really aren't an outlaw, and if you'll be so good as to return my shoe...
Unpack the gear, Tonto. We're not leaving here, at least for a while.
I say, you will allow me to go into town, won't you? Even though my reception at Quartzville has so far been one of unmitigated rudeness, Oliver Hornblower never cancels an engagement. I'll appear at the benefit this evening and give several readings of the Bard's plays, handicapped as I am by the lack of a supporting cast.
Don't worry, Oliver. I'll see that you get to the benefit on time. I might even rake up a supporting cast for you.
It was later that evening that three figures moved quietly through the shadows surrounding the Matchless mine.
Such Stygian blackness! In the dead vast and middle of the night! That's from the first act of...
Quiet! I don't think there are any men working here tonight, but we can't be sure, Tonto.
Huh.
This is the engine house, right ahead of us.
Huh.
There may be an engineer in there. I hope so. That'll mean there's steam up to operate the cage. You can handle him, can't you, Tonto?
Leave him to me.
Go ahead.
Hey, what the? Hey, you can't.
No more talk. Good.
Tonto.
Me fix. Only one man.
Everyone else must have left. Gone into town.
The more I think about what you've told me, that unwittingly I have crossed the path of a knave so foul, so treacherous, so...
Wait! We haven't proved anything yet. We can't be sure till you and I go down into the mine and follow this map.
I? You mean you want me to...
There's no telling what we'll find. I may need your help. Someone has to stay above ground to operate the steam hoist. You can do that, can't you, Tonto?
Me do whatever you say, Kimosabe.
Good. There's probably an indicator in the engine room to show the different levels. When I give the signal, let us all the way down. Come on, Oliver. Here's the shaft. That's the cage. Step over there.
You mean we're going to entrust our lives to this fragile bit of wood and metal?
Hundreds of men do it every day. Hang on. I'm going to signal Tonto to let us down. Here we go.
Oh, what a fall there was, my countrymen. That's from...
Julius Caesar. Here we are, Oliver.
Oh, it's cold and dark. And...
That's why I brought a candle and matches. Here, hold this map while I strike a light. Let's see. We'll follow the lower level for about 200 yards. Then take a cross drift that angles to the left. Come on.
Ah, oh, methinks. I would give all my fame for a pot of ale and safety. But lead off. I'll follow. How much further?
I don't know. All we can do is follow the map.
Walked 1,000 leagues.
Not quite that far, Oliver. Come on. Now, at this point, we should be...
Halfway to China! A curse, I say, upon the...
Wait. I think I hear it. It's up ahead. It's the miners. We found them.
Thank heavens they're alive!
2 days and nights without food or water. Stand back, Oliver. I'm going to shoot the padlock off the door. Now, if I can just...
Watch out, man. It might be another one of Finchley's tricks.
Don't worry.
A masked man. So Finchley sent an owl hoot down here to finish his dirty job. Come on, boys. At least we can...
Wait. I'm not an outlaw. You're the miners from the White Hope, aren't you?
This is the White Hope. We've been trapped down here ever since some of Finchley's men set off a blast that closed our main shaft.
I thought so.
If you're not one of this bunch, how come you found this tunnel? It must be part of the old Matchless mine.
It is. And we never would have found it without this sketch. A friend of mine talked to Miss Clark this evening. Evidently, Mr. Finchley didn't stop at one murder to try and keep all of you here.
Julia, is she all right?
I'm sure she is. I wonder why he went to all this trouble.
Oh, I know. Because the mother load and the Matchless has played out. He tried to kill all of us with the blast. When that failed, he figured he'd keep us bottled up here till we starved to death. Then maybe he could cut through here and tap the White Hope. Wait till I get my hands on that murdering skunk.
It'll be hard to prove. Finchley will claim the blast was an accident unless we can... Oliver, you can prove it.
I?
And have a supporting cast for your performance at the same time.
I don't understand.
Neither do I, stranger. But I like the way you talk, even if you are wearing a mask. My name's Paul Becker, and I...
We'll have to hurry, Paul. There isn't much time. First thing to do is get above ground, then I'll explain what I mean.
Sure. Come on, boys!
The benefit performance at the Quartzville Opera House was an assured success. The audience was large and responsive, although everyone was saddened by the recent tragedy at the White Hope Mine. As Oliver Hornblow waited in the wings to present his act, he was sure no one had seen him open the stage door and admit 20 grim and vengeful miners. He listened to Martin Finchley introduce him before the drawn curtain. And now, my friends and fellow citizens, I take great pleasure in introducing a sterling artist who has so graciously consented to lend his talent to the worthy cause, Mr. Oliver Meredith Hornblow.
Thank you. As my humble contribution this evening, I will endeavor to enact the trial scene from The Merchant of Venice. Unfortunately, there are not enough players to lend realism to the scene, so I must ask for your help. As you know, the scene is a courtroom, and I need someone to play the villain. Who will volunteer? Let's see. How about you, Mr. Finchley? Surely you're not adverse to playing the part in one of Shakespeare's finest dramas.
I'm not much of an actor, but I'll be glad to help.
Splendid! Take a seat right there, Mr. Finchley. Now we can proceed. I'll explain what's going to happen. Mr. Finchley is the accused. I am the lawyer. And you, the audience, are the jury. Only one thing is lacking. Witnesses. I'll present them now. All right, Tonto, raise the curtain. Yes, it's these men brought up from the secret tunnel where Mr. Finchley hoped to kill them and rob the girl who owns the White Hope. These are the witnesses against Martin Finchley.
Say you can't!
It's already done, Mr. Finchley. You are the accused and convicted.
Paul.
Julia.
The sheriff and his men have already arrested your hirelings, who have murdered Mrs. Clark's foreman, and they're waiting in the wings now to arrest you!
Oh, Mr. Hornblow, you were wonderful. Everyone in Quartzville is eternally grateful to you, especially Paul and me.
It is not I who deserve your gratitude, my child.
Hornblow! Hornblow!
Oh, it's you. The caustic varlet who drives the stagecoach.
Yeah, I just wanted to congratulate you, Hornblow. You sure gave a great performance. It was great.
Great. My friend, if you only knew the truth, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them.
I guess so.
By the Lone Ranger.
Hiya, Silver! Away!
Brought to you by Cheerios, the new breakfast cereal from General Mills. The program, carried by the Blue Network of NBC, the national broadcasting company, originated in the studios of WXYZ in Detroit and featured Brace Beamer as the Lone Ranger and John Todd as Tonto. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
I sure wouldn't mind having a Lone Ranger and Tonto right about now.
He's here!
But what about the sheriff?
Oh, it's too late now. Quick, everybody hide!
Surprise!
Happy birthday, Bart!
What the? Oh, you remembered.
Sure we did, Bart. We'd never forget your birthday.
Why, you decorated the bar and everything. Boy, this sure is a swell birthday surprise.
Glad you like it, Bart. Happy birthday.
Say, where's the sheriff?
Here I am, Bart, with a batch of my prize-winning birthday cupcakes all whipped up.
My favorite.
Well, as soon as I heard you're coming into town, I raced on back to my office and got them. Wouldn't be your birthday without cupcakes.
A fella couldn't ask for a better bunch of friends.
How about some music?
Originally broadcast.
broadcast June 9th, 1949. Footlights on the Frontier from the Lone Ranger was originally broadcast April 7th, 1944. When Westerns Were King has been a production of the On the Air Radio Players and is sponsored by the Henrico County Department of Recreation and Parks. The voice and sound effects artists for tonight's show have been Elizabeth Brinkley, Daryl Corley, Jack Dobson, David Hightower, Juliana Mortimer, Steve Presbytek, Gracie Stogsdale, Weldon Stogsdale, Kate Beard, Will Beers, and John Witt. Music was furnished by Margie Langston. When the West Was Wild was directed by Bill Ivanhoe. Sound effects consultation was furnished by Weldon Stogsdale. This production is dedicated to the memory of Margaret Lively. This is your announcer, Elizabeth Brinkley, speaking. Good night and happy listening.